You this evening. It is always a pleasure when the Lord uses you in any capacity, but I am even more excited tonight because I have been wrestling with God. I have had time to think about what he said about me, and I wrestled to agree with what he said. And so tonight is my agreement. Tonight is the night where I settle it. Tonight is the night where I come out. And it's not so profoundly that I'm coming out in what I'm saying. I'm coming out in my position. I'm coming out in my decision to align with what he says about me and to agree with what he says about me. And so I'm going to say something that has nothing to do with this, but this is for Rochelle. I, Rochelle, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, all right. I, Rochelle, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I, Rochelle, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am honored to stand before you tonight and to proclaim the good news of the one who sent me, of the one who called me, of the one who anointed and appointed me to do his will. I stand before you tonight in the face of all adversity and say that fear is gone. I command fear to leave now in the name of Jesus. I stand in the authority that Christ has given me. And although everything that I knew in the past says that I couldn't, everything that he showed me in the future says that I can. And so I stand tonight in boldness, declaring the word of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Again, that was for me, y'all. That was for me. My God, that was for me. Woo, and it felt good. My God, it felt good. It felt good. Woo. All right, now that that's over with. So tonight, I just want to kind of capitalize or come after the message that we heard on Sunday. So on Sunday, Apostle delivered to us a message that came from James 4:7. And then he also endeavored to partake a little in Ephesians 6:11-18. But James 4:7 was the primary scripture that we looked at. And it was, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee. So in hearing that message, there were so many things that stood out to me on a personal level. And at the same time, there were so many things that stood out to me on a corporate level. And so what I want to do is just capitalize on some of those things so that we're up to speed, that we can go on into the message for the evening. So this evening's message is going to be titled, for those that need a title, Strength in Unity. And it's going to actually be, most of it is going to be predominantly from Ephesians 6:11-18. But as we recapped on the message we heard on Sunday, one thing that really stood out was that he said, you have an enemy, and it's not who you think it is. And so we all look around at our lives, and we see people that we are in opposition with, and we see them as the enemy. But when he said that, it took me a little deeper. It made me think about the fact that what I'm looking at is a person. And that Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so now what I need to determine is, what is the motive behind the person? What is the spirit that is moving the person? And then I need to attack the spirit and not the person. So oftentimes we go after the person. And even though we find ourselves at even more enmity with the person, now we really don't speak, we don't have any encounters, that spirit still exists. But if this person had already proclaimed to be a Christian, there's a responsibility greater for us to pray that spirit off of that person, to be brotherly like we're supposed to be and go after that spirit. He also told us that weariness is an emotional fatigue. That blessed me profusely. Because I have always associated weariness and tiredness together. And tiredness is a physical fatigue. Weariness is an emotional fatigue. So that means that this thing is going on in my mind. This thing is wrapped around my thought process. It's not allowing me to put on the mind of Christ. It's not allowing me to operate out of the freedom and the liberty that Christ has given me, because I'm weary and it's an emotional fatigue. He went on further to tell us that the works of the flesh are an outgrowth of the sins that we have committed. I'm going to let you sit there and think about that for a minute. I'm just going to say it again. The works of the flesh are an outgrowth of the sins that we have committed. That's something to really think about, because we see works of the flesh everywhere we go. Some of it we're doing ourselves. But then when you attach it to the fact that it was a sin that I committed, it was something that I willingly, maybe unknowingly committed. And now I have this work of the flesh that is present before me that I've got to deal with, that I have to contend with. Also said that faith allows us to access God, and sin allows the enemy to access us. Who in their right mind would want the enemy to have access to them? Nobody. None of us that call on the name of the Lord. The other ones don't know that the enemy has access. But now that we have come out from that, would we allow sin a doorway back in? No. Then the last thing that he said was, well, it wasn't the last thing, but it was the most important thing. Focus on exposing the enemy. So it isn't about focusing on the person that the enemy is using or the result of the thing that occurred, but to focus on exposing the enemy, because the enemy does not want to be exposed. He doesn't want you to know that it's him. He wants you to think that she did it, that she did it, that he did it, and not that it's a principle, that it's a spirit that is working behind the person that is causing them to do whatever it is that we're seeing. He also said if you don't meditate on it, you won't succumb to it. How many times have we in our minds thought on something so long that we did it? I mean, we often just, we play with it in our head so long till after it's done, we think, oh, I should have done it. You thought about it 3 weeks before you did it. So is that really falling into sin? That's actually planning, contemplating, living in sin. For 3 weeks, I thought about it before I did it. I was residing there. I was meditating in it. I had all kind of thoughts. And what's funny is during those 3 weeks, if I thought about it a lot, I bet when I did it, it didn't feel anywhere near what I thought it was going to be in those 3 weeks of time. And the after effects of that, the conviction, the inner conviction that I have grieved the Holy Spirit, that I've allowed to enter me and live with me, and now I've done something that has come against the Spirit, and so there's an inner turmoil going on. He said, advancing is useless if you can't hold ground. That's something to really ponder. You know, here we are. We are advanced, Church Columbus. So if we move forward, can we hold it? If God were to give us the city, can we keep it? Do we know what we need to do to keep it? Do we understand what we have to put in place? Because advancing, you know, there's an arduous fight to get there. But once you get there, we tend to slack off. We tend to get comfortable. We conquered. But the enemy is already planning the second attack to push us back and to gain the ground that we have back. He said the best defense is a good offense. There were just so many gold nuggets in that message to really prepare us for where God is taking us, to prepare us for the forging ahead that he is already aligning us for. Then he said, the last gold nugget, to go on offense, submit yourself to God. Submit. Not present. Submit. I can present myself to God. I can come and say, God, here I am. But is that really submitting to him? Is that saying that, God, it's not my will that I want to follow, but it's your will? Is that really allowing my will to collide with his will and his will to prevail? That's what submitting is. Submitting is saying, God, please change my whole mind. Do a whole new thing in me. Make me complete in you. Because I've already been searching. I've tried to find things to make me complete. And everything I got seemed complete for the moment. But then the next day, the next minute, the next hour, I realized I wasn't complete. But as we submit ourselves to him, we become complete. He fills us. You know, God is so good that when we think we're filled up, there's more. See, the enemy can't do that. He can't do that. After that rant in the bed, after that lush drinking day, after taking all those drugs, you're still empty. But after one night with Jesus, you're overflowing. There's just so much more that you have that you didn't have before that night. God is so good. So now let's work our way on down to Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. We know that we are to take an offensive position. In offense, is defense in offense? It's a real question. Is there, when we're talking about an offensive position, is there a defensive position in an offensive position? Have you ever seen a football team? I mean, if a football is on offense, they have defensive players on the line. So when we say offense, it doesn't mean that we're oblivious, that we're stupid, that we're acting like there isn't an attack and we don't need to protect ourselves. So this is what Ephesians starts to tell us here. And it reads, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. This passage basically tells us that we're in a war. It tells us that we are soldiers in an army. Everything described here is something you would see on a soldier. It's saying we've got to gird ourselves. We've got to be ready for battle. Dressed, fully dressed at all times. So if I get up in the morning and I don't put this on, am I prepared? If I get up in the morning and I just put some of it on, I don't want to mess up my hair, so I don't put on the helmet. Am I fully protected? Am I ready for battle? I'm going to be a casualty. I'm going to be a casualty because actually without the helmet, I've unprotected the most important thing, which is the mind. So it's important that we see in this passage that we are in a fight. He's made it perfectly clear by describing for us here what we need to have on. We're in a fight. There is a war. The symbolism here is battle attire. It's much like you see, you know, if you look back at the old Roman movies, they had on all these They had on everything, though. They had on way more than this, but they were fully, like, tanned out. I don't know how they fought. They looked to be very uncomfortable, but they fought. In our fight, the way that we put on our armor, the way that we get ready for battle, these items here that are listed, the belt of truth, having our feet shod with the preparation of peace, all of those items we acquire in prayer. So if I'm rushing in the morning and I don't pray before I leave, I'm subject to an attack. I am not prepared. I'm subject to an attack. So this scripture here is to alert us to our daily things that we have to do. It's not something that we can do every now and then. It's daily. And there are some days that in the middle of the day, we've taken something off and we need to regroup again and put something back on. Because, you know, some days are harder than others to get through. Some days it seems like the enemy is relentless and he's coming after you. The job is requiring so much. You got so much going on at home. Your gas tank is saying I'm on E and your wallet is too. And so you've got all these stressors that are. And so the enemy knows that. And so he knows that you're at a vulnerable point. So we have to go back into prayer and get equipped once again in order to be able to fully carry out the remainder of the day in the way that we're supposed to. We can finish the day. But to finish it the way we're supposed to, we need to go back into prayer and equip ourselves again. So this may not feel like a war to everybody. Maybe you had a great week. Maybe there hasn't been anything going on with you. But know that the person beside you has probably been in a war. So it's important for us to understand that this war that we're in, although today I may not be affected, my brother, my sister may be affected. So this war is, it's a continuous war. It really doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It may be your day today and my day tomorrow, but it doesn't stop. The war is ongoing. In order for us to be prepared for this war, we have to know some things. We have to know that although our enemy is not omnipresent, there is an army. So while we think we left that enemy yesterday, there's another one coming today. They're a very organized army. They're very strategic, and they've been together a long time. The Bible tells us that they were kicked out of heaven together. So they've had many years of training on us, many years together. The Bible says we have to know them that labor among us. They know each other. They know each other. They're not trying to figure out where they fit in. They get in where they fit in. They understand what they're fighting for and what they're fighting against. And their commonality is to cause havoc in the lives of the believers in the kingdom, to not allow the kingdom to be established here on earth. That's their ultimate goal. And they don't care what they have to do to make sure that doesn't happen. So while we are sitting around resting and relaxing, they're meeting. They're planning, they're scheming on how they're going to attack Advanced Church Columbus. They're going to send in their best people. Because he's not going to play. He ain't going to send out somebody just joined yesterday. He's going to go back and get the one that came out with him in the beginning and say, you need to go in there because they're building an army. And we've got to come against the army. So we have to be mindful of that. We have to know our place. We've got to get in our position. We've got to cover each other. We've got to know that I had a good day, but get in the spirit and say, God, who's having a bad day? Who do I need to be interceding for today? We've got to build such a great army that he's scared to come up in here. We must be prepared. So individual preparation is what we see right here in Ephesians 6:11, putting on the full armor, you know, getting ourselves ready. But if we move on down just a minute to verse 18, we will find in verse 18 where it says, with all prayer and petition, with specific request, at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the spirit and with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. So you know, sometimes we're only thinking about ourselves. But the Bible just said we have to pray for all God's people. So now I said that the enemy was sending someone in to advance Church Columbus. But he's also sending somebody into New Birth Christian Center, New Covenant Believers Church. He's sending them everywhere. So we can't be so self-centered, so self-equipped, that we don't think about the entire body when we're talking about equipping for this battle and for this war. He's been planning this so long that that's why it's so hard for the churches to come together. Because he's already placed people in there that says, you know, we can't fellowship with them. I mean, no. You know, I know it's one Lord. You know, I know it's one faith. I know it's one baptism, but I ain't going over there. I understand it's one body, but we talking about this body. If it's one body, how do you have a body there? It's one body. Many members, every joint supplies. So what he's done is he has cut off the supplies. He has placed people strategically in places to not allow us to come together, to unify, to be able to supply what each other needs. So you've got XYZ church that operates in nothing but deliverance. Then you've got ABC church that operates in nothing but prayer. Then you've got LMNO church over here that has everybody that's walking around and huck a Messiah and all that. And, you know, they speak in tongues, but these ones. And that's what he has done with us. And he's made it so crafty and done it so well that he's disguised it under denominational names. He's built conferences, and he said, you know, we're a member of the Rowan National Baptist Society over here, so we don't fellowship with the Pentecostals over there. He has really set us up to fail, and we've fed into it. We have allowed that to divide us, to cause us to not be one body, which is what the word says. So when we're talking about getting ready and getting prepared to take positions, we're talking about bringing the body together. We're talking about a unification like Columbus has never seen. We're talking about understanding that we're all fighting the same enemy, and it's not each other. That's going to take us preparing. It's going to take us understanding why people believe the way they believe. It's going to take us challenging those belief systems. It's going to take us even challenging our own belief systems. Are you prepared? When I was 18, on my 18th birthday, when I was 17 to go into the military, but I was to leave for boot camp on my 18th birthday. And so on my 18th birthday, I went into boot camp. They put me on this plane. I'm all excited. I signed up for the Navy. Gonna be on the big white love boat. That's what I thought. So I signed up for the Navy, and I get on this plane, and I'm all excited. Get down to Florida, and then they pick me up at the airport, and they, you know, tell me to come with them. And, you know, I'm all excited, got my little stuff, you know, and meet a couple other people walking towards the bus that we get ready to get on. And we get on the bus, or we get ready to get on the bus, and we stand in front of the bus, and we're outside, and they start screaming, heel to toe, head eyes forward, head eyes forward. And I'm like, oh, God, what have I done? What have I done? And they're saying heel to toe, heel to toe. And in my mind, I'm going, how can I get my heel to my toe? You know, it doesn't make any sense because we're not used to this. And so they're basically saying, get that close to the next person, heel to toe, heel to toe. Well, they're making no room for all of this or this or any of that. And they don't care. Heel to toe, heel to toe. So you're smashed up against these people. I mean, completely smashed up. And you got to keep your head and eyes forward. And, you know, that ain't natural for you. You want to look around. And my thought is, who's looking at us? Oh, my God, we are embarrassed out here. Don't know nobody, but it's still embarrassing nonetheless. It's still embarrassing. And so after that, you get on the bus and you think, okay, we're going to get on the bus. We're going to talk. We got a 75-minute ride. No conversation. You can't talk. I'm in Florida for the first time. I want to look at the palm trees. I'm all excited. You can't say a word. And don't stare out the window too long because they're going to say, and they're screaming at you like you are deaf and dumb. So I'm like, okay, so we get to the base and I think, maybe it's going to get better from here. Mm-mm. No better from there. No better from there. So you go in and they ask you your name and, you know, and they tell you your name is Seaman Recruit. And I'm like, huh? Seaman Recruit. And so I'm saying, you know, my name is Johnson. Oh, okay. Seaman Recruit Johnson. Sir. Sir. Oh, say it again. I was like, okay. So it was a quick learning process. It was a very quick, you don't get it, you suffer consequences. So that's like 4 o'clock in the morning PT. Intense PT in Florida where they tell you to put on a toboggan and your full winter gear and come and do PT at 4 o'clock in the morning in Florida in July. Okay. Yeah. So this was a culture shock. It was unbelievable. I didn't know anybody. And at this point, I was scared to get to know anybody because if you were caught talking when you weren't supposed to be talking, there were consequences. So, you know, you got to drop, you got to do 50 push-ups, you got to do 100 sit-ups. I mean, they weren't playing. Next morning, they take us to this place, and they tell us we're now a company, all of us. So the women, unfortunately, we are company. Long. We have to stay longer in, I'm going to call it a utero, for our company to feel. So I'm in this position waiting for this company to feel for 5 days that is not counting towards my 8 weeks. At all. So in my mind, I've already counted when I'm out. You know, I'm going to be, I'm already 5 days behind. So during this time, we're waiting for other people to come in, but we're still being treated like we are fully military. You know, you marching, you doing all this stuff, and you know, you marching, you got, everybody ain't got rhythm. So you got some people that ain't marching on beat with the right foot. And everybody is suffering the screaming and hollering and literally spitting in your face when they're talking going on. So we finally get a company after 5 days, and we're called K101. I said kindergarten because that's what it felt like when it was over. But what they were doing was they were realigning our thinking. They take you away from everything and everybody, and they give you a whole new way of thinking. I mean, you have very limited contact with the outside. You can get a letter every now and then, but you really don't have time to respond back to that letter because if you read that letter, then it's time to get up now. Your free time is over. You only have maybe 15, 20 minutes of free time per day. Yes. And I went in stupidly with long hair, and if your hair touched your collar, you get PT. So I was in the bathroom with scissors, making a complete mess of my hair to get it off because I was getting tired of PT. On top of that, I picked a branch of the service and couldn't swim. So I'm thinking, they're going to teach me how to swim. Surely they're not going to let you go in the Navy. You don't know how to swim. Surely. And they do have swim classes. You do go to swim classes, and they teach you how to float. That's it, on your back. They make you walk off into the 12 feet, cross your arms with your legs crossed and go down, come back up and go on your back. And when, you know, you do that the first time, you grabbing for people because you can't swim. And they're dunking you down every time you touch them. Every single time. So it was, everything was so brand new. So unbelievable. But after 8 weeks, I was a soldier. I understood everything. I thought like them. I could eat in 15 minutes flat and would eat just about anything. I could run 3 miles per day and ask you, do you need more? Because I could do it. But what it did was it was changing my mind. It was telling me that I was not limited like I thought I was. When I first got in there, they said, do 50 sit-ups. And my belly said, it ain't going to happen. By the time I got out, I could probably do 100. Because they conditioned you. You don't have an option. If you don't do it within this set time frame, then we're going to give you another hour in the wee hours of the morning when everybody else is still sleeping to get this done. That was some rigorous training. That was a taking on a new mindset. That was changing everything that I knew about me to become what they wanted me to be. That was a realigning everything, because you gotta think like a soldier, you gotta act like a soldier, you gotta walk like a soldier, you gotta talk like a soldier. And when we were in format, you didn't know one from the other. We all looked alike. Everything about us was uniform. Everything was in sync. When we got out there and started marching, and you know, this big mouth, I was a cadence caller, so get out there and start calling the cadence, and everybody was on the right foot. Everybody. Flanking those corners, your elbows better be precise. You don't be doing, no, you better swing with everybody else, because if you're out of line, your whole line is in trouble. We formed some relationships in there that was unbelievable, because it was survival of the fittest. It was, I'm not going to lose you. We're going to make it together. It was, I'm not going to give up on you. We can do this. We can do this. But I tell you what I learned more than anything in there. If I told myself that at the end of everything they required me to do, that there was a reward, I pressed. So because I wanted that to end, I would tell myself, if you do this good today, it's over today. And I had told myself that every day for 8 weeks. But it got me through. That was hard, but became easy. There I was serving someone who really wasn't serving me. There I was submitted to someone who wasn't submitted to me. I was doing what they required of me without any questions, because it seemed to be that my life was at stake. Because now they tell you that boot camp might last 8 weeks for some services, 12 weeks for others. But if you don't finish it all, it doesn't end. There were people in there with me that had been in there long before that. One girl did 12 weeks in an 8-week boot camp. One girl committed suicide in an 8-week boot camp because she couldn't handle it mentally. But this kind of thing that we're in, this army, our commander has already done it all for us. Our commander went to the cross for us, stretched his arms, died for us, went to hell, took the keys, came out, and now sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. This commander is still with us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said he would be there to the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the great I Am, the El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. In him there is no failure. What in the world would we not serve this commander? Why wouldn't we want to enlist in this army? Why wouldn't we give all to be the best soldier that we could possibly be? In this boot camp, you can fail and it's okay. He still uses you. In this boot camp, you're not even required to run 3 miles. You're not required to get up at 4 a.m. You're not required to stand heel to toe. You don't have to really even march. This army here is an honorable army. You know, I finished those 4 years, but I wasn't honored to finish them. That was just not a quit in me. But it wasn't an honor. And if you were to ask me today, would I do it again? I tell you no. I tell you no. And not because they were so bad to me, but I just don't see where it profited what God was trying to do with me. But this thing here, this fight, this army, this regime, this is one that I volunteered for. Not because there was a reward for volunteering, but because the rewarder had already rewarded me. He'd already afforded me an opportunity to be joined back to the Father that I would not have had he not already gone to battle for me. I'm saying all of this to say that there is strength in the unity. When we were in boot camp, if you saw one, you saw the other. When one cried, when one didn't get a letter, we shared letters. When one couldn't make a call, we'd call and have somebody three-way call. So their parents would know, you're okay. You know that you're fine. You know, maybe you didn't get a call today, but I'm going to call your mom and let her know you are right. We bonded together there in such a way that when it was over, we didn't want to let go. We did not want to leave each other. We wanted to be together forever. That 8 weeks was forever because we all went in many different directions. We never saw each other again. But the reality is the memories and the things that we stood together for, I guarantee you will never forget. So advance. Are we going to stand together? Are we going to come together as one army? Are we going to be in sync? Are we going to stand in rank? Are we going to bear each other's burdens? Are we willing to pray for each other? Are we willing to fight for each other? Because sometimes I don't know the demon that's plaguing me, but you might. Will you contend to get it out of me? Will you contend for me? It is time for us to understand the strength that we have in unifying, the strength that we have in coming together. The strength that we have in allowing our differences to be what brings us together, yeah, instead of what separates us. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Can I have two people? Can I have just anybody, just two people? Now, if we are standing like this, and an enemy comes to attack us, first he has to stop and look at us. He has to size us up because he has to try to figure out which one of us he thinks is the weakest. But when he comes up against us and he comes against the one that he thinks is the weakest, we're going to say he sized us up. He looked at us and he assumed that Brandy, being the smallest, was the weakest. So he pulled and he pulled and he tugged and he pulled and he got her off from us. When he comes to come after us over here, I've got this hand to pull her back. And so every time that he's coming, if he pulls this way, I can pull her back. If he knocks me out, they can grab links together. It is so much easier to fight together than it is to fight apart. It is so much easier. There's so much force behind it, and it's so much strength behind it, because I know that if I lose my way, if I become weak, that they're going to bear me up. I know that they're not going to let me fall. That's what the Lord is trying to build here. That's what he wants to do in this body. That's the seed that he's planted here for us, that we've got to unify one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one mind, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. And it's not a double mind. It's not an advance and retreat mind. It's a mind to press forward no matter what the cost, no matter the cost. And we don't even have to settle for casualties in this war. We don't even have to, because we've already won it. All we have to do is stand. All we have to do is stand. It's already won. Already won. I've never thought about fighting from a position of victory when I was in the military. Never occurred to me that you could fight from a position of victory. But to know the end and know that we win, this is a fight I want to be in. Who doesn't want to fight when they know they win? I mean, it's staged. It's foolproof. We win. So tonight, we come against the spirit of division. We bind it. We render it powerless. We cause it to cease in this house. We call together all the forces of God and we say, Lord, unify us, God. Join us from heart to heart and breast to breast, Father God. Equip us, God. Cause us, God, to bear one another's burdens. Cause us, God, to call on each other in the midnight hours, Father God. Cause us to call out names in prayer, Father God, and to intercede on each other's behalf, Father. God, cause us to love what you love, Father, and hate what you hate, God. God, let us know, Father God, when one is hurting and one is in need, Father God. Oh, God, you have an army, Father, here that is ready, willing, able, capable, God, of following you. Yeah. Ah, God, we submit to your will tonight, Father. Yeah. Oh, God, there will be no divisions among us, Father. No isms, no schisms, God. Oh, there will be one unit, Father God, and we will move in sync. Oh, God, just as we marched, Father God, we will march under your orders, Father. God, we thank you and we bless you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as my parting position, I want to ask that you all would stand. This is my last hoorah for my Navy days. But I'm going to call this cadence and we're going to get in sync. Amen. 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 So now if somebody beside you ain't rhythmic, now we're going to help each other. Now, you know, we got to get this right. All right. All right. So I'm going to start it just simple. Okay. So left, right, and right, and left. Left, right, and right, and left. Oh, oh, your left and your right. Your left and your right, and your left. Oh, your left. Left, right, and right, and left. Left, right, and right, and left. Oh. Oh, your left and your right. Your left and your right. And your left. Your left. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Come on, put your hands together for the word tonight.
Soul.